Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, the weekly podcast. And we are going to do something completely unusual tonight, a little bit differently. This is the weekly podcast, and today was quite a day. And so I was not able to put the show together in the normal format that I would, but I got thinking, how do I want to do the show? Maybe I shouldn't do the show. Maybe I should just postpone it. But there's something that Lady Liberty and I came across earlier today, actually. We were driving around getting parts for some equipment here on the property. And we listened to this. We were stunned. And this is from Redacted. And it is an interview. And it's about 33 minutes. What Lady Liberty and I are going to do tonight is we're going to go through this interview and discuss it. We have some thoughts that we'd like to share, but the host said, could you please help me get this word out, spread it far and wide? So we're going to do that tonight. So this is a very different format than what we usually do. Once again, this is from Redacted. And let me just read to you. Oh, by the way, good evening, Lady Liberty.
Well, good evening, and good evening, everyone out there. Yeah, this is a very, very important interview, and like you just said, this is something that is they're having a heck of a time getting out there because the mass media refuses to touch it, and this is about a the biggest problem in the world. It's about the child trafficking. And yes. So this interview is from a whistleblower, from a former U.S. immigration contractor who worked for an NGO down in Texas, down in Brownsville, Texas. And the name of that NGO, non-governmental organization, is called NVM. And so, oh my gosh, this whistleblower has information that we have been looking for ever since we found out, you know, well, ever since The Sound of Freedom came out, and ever since everybody's been looking to find out what has happened to all of these little kids, all of these tens of thousands. I mean, even Marjorie Taylor Greene and all of Congress had the Human Health Services whistleblower testify before Congress describing, we've lost at least 85,000 of
That's
them.
Right.
Can no longer find them. And so we're going, my gosh, where do you even begin? We don't even know where any of them are. Well,
right.
This guy is shedding a whole bunch of light on where they are.
That's right. So let me just read to you the description here from Redacted on this interview. The United States is the largest trafficker of children in the world. Children that are illegally kidnapped and brought across the U.S.-Mexico border are then sold off to wealthy Americans, used as sex slaves, and worse, if you can imagine anything worse. It's happening, and the corporate media is too scared to touch the story. A whistleblower who worked at one of these facilities, which is a Walmart, a closed Walmart, we'll talk about that, has come forward to expose all of this. Carlos Arellano, former U.S. immigration contractor, and he joins us now. That's the subtitle for this video. So we're going to go through this, and you know, we do have comments and questions that we want to add. And you know, sadly, we're also learning that you know, American families are doing this to their own children as well.
Right.
You know, but the huge percentage of this is coming from children that are being brought into the across our open border, and they're being exploited. It's heart-wrenching, actually. But let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, the United States is the largest trafficker of children in the world. Children that are illegally kidnapped, brought across the U.S.-Mexico border, are then sold off to mostly wealthy Americans, used as sex slaves, and worse, if you can imagine, worse than that. It's happening, and the corporate media, of course, is largely ignoring the story for whatever reason. They refuse to touch the story, and when they do, they briefly touch it, and then it disappears. You can't find links on their website. It vanishes very mysteriously when they cover these stories. Many of these kids, these children, are kept in hidden concentration camps in the United States. Yes, I said it. Hidden concentration camps in the United States. We showed you one of these facilities a few months ago here on Redacted, a Walmart facility, a former Walmart facility in Brownsville, Texas, that is holding hundreds, if not thousands, of children before they are sold off. A whistleblower who worked at one of these facilities, MVM is the name of the facility, has come forward to expose all of this. Carlos Arellano is a former U.S. immigration contractor, and he joins us now. Carlos, welcome to the show, and thank you.
Okay, I just wanted to stop it right there. If you guys remember, about 5-6 years ago, there was a huge buzz all over the place about these Walmarts that were closing and shuttering their businesses, and then all of this massive construction going on, building what they said was detention centers. Now, at the time, do you remember this?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, right.
Oh, yeah, right. Immigration centers. These are for rounding up American citizens, you know. And so there was a lot of, and of course, the fact checkers, they were just knocking this. You guys are totally paranoid. This is not for rounding up Americans. These are not detention centers.
Well, and I probably thought the same thing. I was like, that sounds really out there.
And it's suspicious because people that are working on these places, I mean, here, right here, ABC News from 2018, a look inside the Walmart turned immigration detention center for children.
Yeah.
Okay. They've been planning this since at least 2018.
That's scary.
Now, that project did not take place just in 2018. Somebody got this flashbulb idea, and then all of a sudden in 2 weeks they started on this.
Right.
This was years in the making to buy a closed Walmart to convert it to a detention facility for children. So, real quick here. For the first time since the Trump administration announced its zero tolerance policy on illegal immigration, a small group of journalists was allowed into the country's largest licensed shelter for undocumented children. Imagine being 10 years old, separated from your mother or father, not understanding why, and being taken to a hulking, windowless building filled with 1,500 other kids you've never met. Okay, so they're trying to tie this to the Trump administration. To our knowledge, this was never used by the Trump administration for children.
Right.
This was probably actually intended for the Clinton administration, which was supposed to come in 2016.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So the border was as secure as I think it ever was when Trump was in. These weren't needed for children.
Right, exactly. He actually probably thwarted the whole plan by blocking off the border.
Yeah, he sure did. So this is a real thing. And as it turns out, they really were intended all along for thousands of children. There are at least five of these Walmarts, but let's listen. Let's continue on with the interview.
Thank you for coming forward to share your story.
No, thank you for having me. It's like you said, when it comes to child trafficking, there's so much evil behind it that people don't want to touch the story, and if they do touch it, they touch it briefly. And it just goes to show you how much evil there is behind it, that it holds that much power over people, that it's kept in the dark.
And hopefully we can expose this story, we can shine a light on it today. So anyone watching this, hopefully you can share this story out, share it with people who can spread it around to try to put an end to this awful, awful crime against humanity that's happening in the United States and around the world. So, Carlos, before we dive into some more specifics of this, can you just give us, our audience, a background as to what exactly you did working as an immigration contractor and this company? Is it a government company relationship as a U.S. government contractor, or was it separate from the U.S. government?
So the way it works is the U.S. government is washing their hands, keeping their hands clean, by going out and handing out massive contracts to organizations that they like to call NGOs, non-government organizations. And these NGOs, they will get contracts for food services, for laundry services, for...
Right here where he's describing NGOs, keep in mind, NGOs is a UN term. That is a United Nations term,
right,
that came about through the United Nations programs. And why they are called non-governmental organizations is because they're more or less the working corporations that are associated with the global governance, the United Nations.
Yes.
And so what happens is the United Nations likes to use the term public-private partnerships,
right,
which is just another renaming for the word fascism.
Yes.
Right?
Because, in the true sense.
Yeah, because Mussolini was the one that said the ultimate fascist system is one that the government can work with corporations in a way that benefits both, by one side doing what the other can't do legally,
right,
and yet it's never to the benefit of the people. It's always to the detriment of the people.
That's right.
And so it is government scratching corporations' back and vice versa. And so they like to call these corporations that are willing to work with them, they like to call them, quote unquote, non-governmental organizations.
Right.
And so just the fact that he is referring right here to an NGO, and he has nothing to do with the UN, but that's an that's a UN term.
Well,
and we know that the children are being moved all around the world. They're being paid by the United Nations.
Yes.
In fact, huge amounts of the money that is going to pay for all of these illegals is coming through our federal branch.
Right.
And paying for them under the guise of the United Nations paying them.
It is the United States program with the United Nations that covers immigration and refugee settlement, IRG,
right, special services.
Yes. I can't remember the name of it, but all these non-government agencies like the Red Cross, UNICEF, Doctors Without Borders, all these are down there with United Nations money in the Darien Gap.
Yep.
The Red Cross giving maps to these hordes of migrants, teaching them how to get to the U.S., and they're giving them apps on their phones that guided by the Biden administration.
Yep, that's right.
On how to get in, how to navigate, what areas to avoid, to how to avoid border patrol, what to say when you get caught, so you can call for, you know, refugee status. This whole thing, yeah.
Right.
And they're using NGOs to do this because, just like you said, and just like you pointed out in your book, The Perils of Sustainable Development, it would not be legal for our government to be doing this directly.
That's right.
So they fund it indirectly using NGOs.
Yep.
For educational services for the illegal immigrants. Everything under the sun that you can think of, everything that we have to pay for, they will hand out $100 million contracts to give these services for free to the illegal immigrants. And the company that I work for specifically, their job is they hold the largest contract to move children around the United States of America. So my job was to move children from point A to point B. And my job was to pick children up at the border and then move them to their sponsors. I've been to every state that you could name. I've been there. I've been to North Dakota, Vermont, Florida, dropping kids off, all of them. And New York City and Florida, the most popular ones. New York State and Florida. And the other job that I did, I've done this immigration work my whole life, but two main jobs that stick out the most is I was part of the management team. I helped ran the largest migrant hotel in New York City, the Row NYC, where I had to look over 5,000 migrants in the heart of Times Square, a block away. And my job was to, whatever these migrants wanted in New York City, whether it be spicy food, non-spicy food, or laundry services, we got laundry services for them. We had Uber services for them. If a migrant in New York City came to me and said, I want to go here in New York City, I want to go here in Brooklyn, but we're in Manhattan, my job was to get an Uber for them and things of that nature.
How were they? How did they have so much power? I mean, a migrant in New York City, was this a person responsible for the trafficking? Or were they, these are people that had come across the border and you were providing sort of, you know, luxuries for them? Can you explain that?
Well, the way it works is it's separate NGOs. So the one I escorted children for and the one I worked for in New York City are two separate companies. But the thing that people miss here is, for example, people think it's Governor Abbott who's sending all these people on buses to New York City. And it's not just Governor Abbott. Governor Abbott can account for like 15, 20% of the people. Because if you look at the numbers that the state of Texas provides, it's about, they've bused over about 30,000 people maybe to New York City, but New York City has about 80,000 people currently in their system. So the rest of these 50,000 people are going to NGOs like Catholic Charities at the southern border. And I think Anne talked about Catholic Charities, Anne and Michael. So Catholic Charities, bus tickets, airplane tickets, all on the federal taxpayer money to get these illegal immigrants from the border to New York City. So a lot of these illegal immigrants are finding their way through federal taxpayer money from the NGOs to get around the country. But the thing is, they want you to believe that it's Governor Abbott. Governor Abbott is busing people, but it's nowhere near the same numbers that these federal taxpayer-funded NGOs are moving people across the country.
And so the federal taxpayer-funded NGOs are bringing these migrants. We'll get back to the children part of this in a second. But for instance, in New York City, bringing these migrants to New York City to live in this, I guess, a hotel. By the way, New York City, Times Square, I used to work at Fox News, one block away from where you're talking about, right there in Times Square, right there next to, like a block away from major news organizations, the Today Show, all of the major media, ABC News, all of them a block away from where this is happening, and total radio silence on this. So when they're at these hotels in New York City, what are they doing? Are they children? Are they adults? And then what happens to them?
So my hotel was a family.
You know, I think that's a very important point that he just made right there. He's pointing out that this guy, Carlos Arellano, was in charge of at least 5,000 of these illegal immigrants that were right there within two blocks of ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox.
All of them.
They're walking distance from all of the major media, and yet the major media will not touch this.
That's right.
I mean, even if it was a proximity issue, right? Even if it was, well, we can't get a hold of any of them to interview them. Well, really? Sure. Maybe they should take a little stroll up the block. They'll run into 5,000 of them.
Just look over their shoulder while they're doing Good Morning America.
Yeah, exactly. Downtown New York. Look out the window.
Right.
And especially at 2 in the morning, that's when you're going to find them getting moved in off of these minivans and buses. And
private chartered planes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Family hotel. So I had families spread across 28 floors. So from floor one all the way up to 28th floor is full of illegal immigrants of family units. But the thing is, they don't do anything all day. You talk to these people, they're not in a rush to leave. They're not in a rush to get out. So that's what my concern was me being familiar with the way these government contracts work. I would tell these people, hey, I'm looking out for you. If you have a family member who can help you out and wants to take you in, my advice to you is take them up on it, because one day this hotel will close down and they're just going to toss you out to the street and you're not going to have anywhere to go. So please If I'm saying this in a good way, I'm not in a bad way, I'm looking out for you, you got to go. But the thing is, these people would not take me seriously, because Mayor Adams had no rush to push people out. Now that it's gotten out of hand, now he's sending out 60-day notices where he's telling people, you have 60 days to find a way to get other kind of housing. If not, you're going to be out in the streets. So now that he's enforcing the 60-day notice, now that's why you're seeing these people out in the streets in tents, and they're spilling out over to the streets on the videos where they're sleeping on the side of the road. It's because they didn't run this the right way from the beginning. And for example, the hotel that I worked at, why would you put people all the way up to the 28th floor? Because these migrants are not going to be happy when the time comes to leave, and you're going to have to get the National Guard in there, and you're going to turn into a shoving match. And can you imagine them shoving each other, pushing each other, punching each other on the 28th floor? Someone's going to fall out. And it's like, why would you even do that? Why would you fill this hotel up the whole way? And it's terrible. It's terrible what's happening in New York City, and I don't see it getting any better. It's just going to keep getting worse. I see it ending up like the Paris riots out in France.
Exactly. This is what came to mind to me. Already you're seeing pushing and shoving matches and near riot conditions when the hotels are saying, we can't do this anymore.
That's right.
We got to kick you out. Now the mayor is behind it, and these people are irate, calling for their immigrant rights. Yep. And next thing is riots in Manhattan, New York. You're going to see, just like in Paris, where the city was burning. They were burning cars, and these were migrant riots bringing absolute mayhem to the cities. Now you've got thousands of groups of hundreds of Haitians,
right?
People coming from Haiti, coming from the Middle East, coming from all of these different countries. They're not all just children. We're talking about child trafficking and everything. That's the main point of this. But there's a bigger problem. This is a Cloward Piven strategy right here.
Right.
To get everybody into a welfare state, create chaos, and then they come in with a socialist system of equality for everybody.
Right. That, and they're also trying to give illegals voting rights.
Right.
And so, of course, they want them all in New York City, as many as they can get that will vote for Biden. Right.
Right.
And so all of these big cities are more or less, they were initially saying, send us the voters, send us the voters, right?
Well, when you see the guy from Muckraker, or you see Michael Yawn that's down there in the Darien Gap, they're interviewing these people. Where are you from? Venezuela. Are you for Trump or Biden? They're all like, Biden, yep, Biden,
that's
Biden,
right,
with their fists in the air. And they're bringing in millions of leftist, anti-American voters.
That's right.
So this is a monumental problem, a tectonic shift in America, and this is the replacement, the great replacement that the left has been boasting about but denying,
right,
telling us that the phrase the great replacement is this right-wing Christian white nationalist conspiracy theory, right?
Right, when in actuality, all of these people are illegal. They're here to replace us Americans, to displace us Americans. And so, you know, here they are thinking that they're just bringing in all these new communist supporting voters.
Yes. And it is about displacing Americanism.
Yep.
These people are not coming here to become Americans.
Right.
And
they have no previous history of living in a free nation.
So then, you know, it goes back to the standard, you're a racist if you're against, you know, this, which is not true. We're for the rule of law, and there's a legal way to come here, and they're refusing to do it.
That's right.
All right, let's continue.
That's where it's headed.
So let's get back to the children and the facility we featured here, this former Walmart facility in Brownsville, Texas. You work there, correct?
So my job was, I did work there, but my job was to take kids out of those facilities and hand them off to sponsors across the country.
So you walk me through that process? So you're an employee, you get an email? Do you get a text message that says, Carlos, on Tuesday, we need you to take these children to their sponsor family in Florida, and how did that process unfold? Can you explain that?
So, yes, we would get text messages, we would get phone calls at 7 p.m. at night, 6 p.m. at night, saying, hey, we have a trip out tomorrow. Can you make the trip? I say yes. And later on in the night, I get a report time for the following morning. You get a 5 a.m. report time, 4 a.m. It's always in the dark because they don't want us picking up these kids in the day where people can see us. And I would get a, for example, hey, 4 a.m. And I would not find out where I was going until the following day when I would show up to the charter bus. We would get phones given to us, backpacks given to us. And until we got to the shelter, to the Walmart shelters that you broke on your show, we get files saying, hey, you're going to head off to Orlando, Florida. You're going to head off to Los Angeles. You're going to head off to Nashville, Tennessee. And you're dropping off six kids. And in those files, you get a hard copy of an ID of the sponsor who's waiting for you at the airport in baggage claim. So the handoff is always in baggage claim at these airports. So the hard copy of the ID is the person you want to wait for, and they're supposed to hand you this physical ID to you in person, and you're not supposed to release the kid until you take a picture of the physical ID with the paper copy ID together on a government phone.
And these children, are illegal immigrant children that are being kept there. Are the parents anywhere around at all?
No parents. No, these are unaccompanied minors. So all the kids you see in the Walmart shelters, they're no parents are here. No aunts and uncles are with them. They showed up to the border by themselves. So, and it's
with
crazy
coyotes,
because
with coyotes bringing them across. They're right.
Yeah, correct. Because sometimes I would run into kids who tell me, a coyote told me exactly how to get to your shelter, is what they would tell me. They told me how many steps to walk north of here, where to turn. And they told me to, if I run into any Border Patrol agent, to say that I'm a minor, that I'm underage, that I'm going to run into a building, a shelter, a Walmart type of shelter that's going to have food for me, that's going to have laundry services for me. And it would get so suspicious because the kids were being told by the coyotes exactly the way an NGO runs a Walmart shelter. And it gets you thinking, how the hell do coyotes know the system on this side, you know? Because they're supposedly only on the Mexico side, and they're not from the U.S., these coyotes, and they're not government employees. So how do they know what to expect in the shelter?
I'll tell you how. They're agents. The coyotes are agents of the government.
That's right.
I mean, they're being, there's obviously some type of liaison going with these NGOs and the coyotes and the cartels.
Yeah, they have to be trained. They have to be informed and briefed on how to do this.
This is what's going on at the shelter. This is what it looks like. This is exactly how to get there. This is, take a right here, go up two blocks, take a left. It'll be right there. You walk up and you tell them this and that.
That's right. It's basically everybody gets paid if everybody knows what to do.
Exactly. Absolutely astounding.
It's insane. And the other insane part is, these Walmart shelters also have babies. I've escorted myself. I can personally myself say I picked up a baby that's 5 months old, 8 months old, 4 months old, and escorted them to a sponsor. And how the hell do you realize who a sponsor is for this child when they can't even talk?
So who are – that's awful. The whole thing is awful. But who are these sponsors then? I know some reports are that these are – mostly, at least in Florida, from reports I've heard, wealthy Americans who are paying for these children. But first of all, who are these sponsors? Do you when you interact with them, is there a representative for the sponsors that you're meeting face to face, or is it the sponsor his or herself who is meeting you face to face?
the sponsor is supposed to be meeting me face to face, because their ID is the one that I can only accept. So they're supposed to be at the airport, but a lot of the times it does not happen. And these sponsors are supposedly family members. They can be an aunt or an uncle. They're supposedly a stepmother. They're supposedly a stepfather. They're supposedly a sister or a brother or a cousin. Sometimes they're even family friends. But it's like, how do you prove that this is a family friend? Or how do you prove this is a cousin when you don't even do DNA testing anymore at the border when it comes to the current administration? And how are you... So they...
Now, this is something that I've often questioned. Why would they DNA anybody coming across the border? I couldn't figure out what's the deal with that. Right. You know, that they used to, and now if they're able to DNA them and trace them back, then we would be able to send these kids back to their own families. But apparently they don't want that.
You'd also be able to verify that the person is not a pedophile posing as a family member.
Right.
Or a pimp.
Yep.
Posing as a family member. They remove that element out of there. So, and also that removes any additional traceability.
Yep.
So when they find a donated organ for child surgery, when they find the remains of a child that's been sexually abused and dismembered, there's no trace. There's no record of their DNA when they come into the country. It's not part of their processing
right,
anymore.
Because they wouldn't be able to, if they had actually been able to take DNA from them as soon as they come into the government facilities, to these NGO empty, you know, these old Walmarts.
Right.
If they had been required to have DNA samples, yes, you're right. They could link them exactly right to where they crossed the border and who they went to and who is most likely responsible for their death.
If they take DNA samples from children, they can't make them vanish.
Right.
Yeah, as easily. Or you can't trace it back to the person responsible.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Sick.
These people are just calling up and saying, hey, yeah, that's my cousin, and that's it. I'm willing to take him in.
And you as an employee, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you thought you were reuniting families up until you didn't. Like, what was the moment you decided, wait a second, I need to blow the whistle on this. This is not what I thought it was.
So, yes, you get into this type of work because you think you can make a difference. You know, you think it's these kids who are, and they have been through a lot, but you want to help them out and make them smile by buying them a snack at the airport, a toy at the airport. Because children are innocent, you know, no matter what, children, they don't know what they're doing, and they should be kept out of issues that are tearing our country apart. So you try to make their day better, but then I started hearing horror stories from my coworkers. My coworkers used to tell me my child that I escorted was crying because they said that they did not know the sponsor that I was taking them to. And they were telling me, please, sir, I don't want to go to the sponsor. I don't know them. They at the campsite where I was, at the Walmart shelter where I was, they told me that I supposedly know the sponsor, that the sponsor is supposed to be my uncle or my aunt, but I've never met him. I don't remember. And my coworker would say, but I don't care. I still handed the child off, even though the child was crying, because I wanted to go out and party. And the reason why my coworker says that is because once we had the child off, we're allowed to go have our own thing. You know, if we're in Los Angeles and we hand the children off at the airport, we're allowed to go out into the city because our flight doesn't happen until the next day, our return flight. So the rest of the night we're free. And a lot of my coworkers were 18, 19 years old, 21 years old, taking care of teenagers. And their main worry was, oh, man, I want to go to the bar already. I want to go to a concert that's happening in downtown LA. But the sponsor is taking forever, or this child is crying. and I just want to hand them off. So they would hand the children off, even though they were showing signs of, I don't know the sponsor. And then I used to think my coworkers were lying or they were exaggerating, because I would tell myself my coworker just wants attention. So they're acting like, and as sick as it is, you know, people like attention that way. And I would brush it off saying, there's no way that's true. But then one day I received an email from my boss admitting in a company email that we handed off children to the wrong people. And all the stories that I would hear from coworkers immediately it just hit me hard in my face. And I had a big panic attack and I couldn't breathe. And the reason why is because I also would get stories from kids where a child wouldn't want to talk. And when I would get to the sponsor would tell me he's not talking because his sibling was with him and she got raped in Mexico and she got murdered in Mexico as well. So these children go through crazy situations like that. And then they tell me these stories. And then you get an email from your own boss telling you, we gave children to the wrong people. And the reason why it's so sickening is because in my office alone, there was about 300 of us, 200 to 300 of us. I would say at the most 400 employees. And each one of us can sometimes have 6 kids, 8 kids at a time. And the word around the company was that the boss had found records of us handing off kids to the wrong people for an entire month. So each day there's escorts going out. So that's thousands of kids for an entire month that were handed off to the wrong people. And could you just imagine a company that's working for the government admits in an email to we gave kids to the wrong people? You just lose your entire faith in the company and the system. And it's like, what am I doing here? You know, I can't be part of this anymore. So that's why I decided to speak out, because the company themselves admitted we're trafficking kids.
And it's all happening right in front of our eyes, and the United States government is funding it. So these facilities, they're making their money from the United States government. And so if you drive up to this, like one of these Walmart facilities, you'll be met with guards at the gate, right? I mean, guards that are telling you, you know, you're not allowed to come in here. Then how many kids are we talking about are at these facilities like this, you know, these former Walmart facilities? Are we talking hundreds, thousands?
Well, the Walmart that was shared on your show, I think you guys shared it.
Yeah.
Or you guys talked about it, that's about 1,500 to 2,000 kids. But that's not the only Walmart down here where I live. We have about 4 or 5 of them.
And these are former Walmarts, right? So these are giant facilities, former Walmarts that are housing these children. Are they like sleeping in cots and beds? And they're just there waiting to be, is it right for me to say sold off to these people around the country? I mean, that's the best way to describe it, right?
All these Walmarts shutting down. Who shuts down a Walmart?
Right.
I mean, maybe in San Francisco or some other high crime area where they're basically Chicago, where they're running Walmarts out because of, you know, of theft. But in a thriving community, 4 to 5 Walmarts just agreeing, yeah, we'll sell our building.
Right.
And then 1,500 to 2,000 children per facility.
My gosh.
This is just insane. I mean, that's unbelievable.
With up to 400 employees working as child escorts that are transporting them all around the nation.
Right.
So up to 2,000 kids at a time, up to 400 employees per Walmart. And I mean, this is just in a small area in Texas. And that's not the only place along the border that these illegal immigrants are coming across.
And once again, guys, you'll find this video. It's actually on YouTube. I don't know how long it'll stay there on YouTube, but it's
probably not long.
It's under redacted. if you look for the YouTube channel Redacted. So let's continue on.
It's the best way to describe it. You're right to say that, because what just the way the company admitted in an email to, hey, transportation specialist, you're taking the wrong documents and you're giving kids off to the wrong people. It's an open world of possibilities of what's happening, you know? And God bless Michael and Ann, because Michael and Ann and another gentleman by Ryan Matter from Live Free America TV and Muttracker.com. These are just some independent journalists who've come down here and have been exposing this whole thing. And when they came down here, they were met with aggressiveness. They were met with, we're going to call the police. You can't be here. You can't take pictures. And they have signs like it says media tour. You can request a media tour. But when Michael and Ryan and Ann would request a media tour, they were met with, oh, you have to go on the website. It's not available right now. Go on the website. It's just, if you have nothing to hide, why are you being so aggressive? You know, it's so easy to let a reporter in there, walk around and then leave, you know, and if it's a good operation, why not do that? You know, and you're met with so much opposition, so much aggressiveness at the front gate that you can't even go into the parking lot for these facilities.
You know, just drawing a comparison here, the same is true with the prisons where the J6ers are held.
Right.
You're not allowed to tour. You are met with extreme aggression. If you try to go in, they will not let you in. And why all the aggression? And why not let people look if you're not doing something nefarious?
Especially media. Why are not senators? Now is the time. Now that this whistleblowing is happening, now we need Congress to say, we demand to get a tour of these facilities.
Exactly. Just the simple fact that they won't let them in means you're going to let them in.
That's right.
And they've got all the authority to demand it.
Absolutely.
These former Walmart facilities.
Is there any follow-up with the children later? Like, to follow up and see, are these children still alive? Have these children remained with these quote-unquote sponsors, these people who've purchased them? Is there any sort of follow-up mechanism in place? Did you have occurrence where you went back and would meet with the families again or meet with any of these sponsors who bought these children?
No follow-up. No follow-up by the escorting agency. None whatsoever. I do know that case managers try to make one phone call. But I do know that this phone call, if they don't answer, if it's disconnected, that's it. They don't put any effort towards it. They don't leave a voicemail, nothing at all. It's just one follow-up phone call a month later. But this phone call is not even enforced. It's left up to the case managers to their own discretion whether they want to make it or not. If they want to make it, they can go ahead and do it. If they don't do it, they're not punished for it. And that's it. The kids are not given a phone number saying, hey, call this phone number if you're being harassed or abused. No. What's happening is the kids are calling the national trafficking hotlines or the abuse hotlines, and they're leaving messages saying, the government dropped me off here and I'm being abused or I'm being pimped out or I'm being made work.
And something to point out right there at this juncture is that those are the kids that are old enough to actually do a search for something called a national trafficking hotline.
Yeah. I mean, what are you supposed to do when you're 18 months old?
What are you supposed to do when you're 3, 4, up to
right.
What? You can't even read usually until you're 7.
And this is probably where that HHS, that lady who gave congressional testimony saying that we're missing approximately 80,000
children. 85,000.
85,000 children. This is how it happens. They just drop them off. At the discretion of the case manager, he may or may not follow up on the children a month later, and it's one call.
Right.
If they make no contact, they just drop it.
And they don't even have to make the one phone call.
Yeah. Blood and the souls of children are on these people's hands. Unbelievable.
And they're calling the national hotline. So that's why there's reports out there of kids working in slaughterhouses, kids being pimped out. And it's terrible what's happening, but it's slowly starting to get out, but it's being suppressed by the mainstream media.
It's unbelievable how it's being suppressed by them. You would think this would be the most important story in America, but it's not. And it is, but it's being totally hidden by the mainstream media. Do you know how much are they paying per child, these sponsors?
Oh, Anne would have a better answer when it comes to this. But what I do know is that I can tell you. So I would have two kinds of trips. Sometimes I would fly economy. I would fly on United Airlines. I would fly on American Airlines. And these kids were being handed off to sponsors at the airport. But then I would have a second kind of trip where it would be charter airplanes at private airports. And when you get to these private airports, you have kids there who are talking about, they're talking to each other, and they're, before they get on the private, on a private airplane, in front of me, they're saying things like, telling the other kids there, hey, what's your favorite shelter? And the kid will start saying, my favorite shelter was the shelter in Seattle because the shelter in Seattle gave us iPads. Or they start saying, my favorite shelter is in Chicago because in Chicago they had a Nintendo Switch for us. And I start thinking to myself, wait a minute. You're at the border and you ended up in the shelter in Chicago. You ended up in the shelter in Seattle. And somehow you're back at the border again in Texas at a private airport in El Paso. And now you're going back to the East Coast. What is going on here? You're just being shipped around the country from shelter to shelter. And then you're ending up back at the border and then you're going back out. What is going on? Like, this is strange. And then the reason why I'm bringing these trips up is because I have this one terrible story where a kid came up to me once and he said, they like to call you teacher. So they called me, they said in Spanish, teacher, can you help me out? And I said, of course, what's going on? And he tells me, I arrived at the border about a year and a half ago, and my sister was with me. But the last time I saw my sister was at a shelter in Chicago, Illinois. And my mom has not heard from my sister either. And she's going crazy because she hasn't heard from her in months. And there's been no phone call, and I don't know where she is at either. Can you help me? And
this is mind-blowing to me, that a mom is frantic because she hasn't gotten a phone call from her unaccompanied children that were sent into the United States.
Right. Well, and see, that's one of the questions that we've had is, who's giving up all these kids?
Tens of thousands of them. What is their motive?
Where are their moms?
Who gives up their own child unless there's some massive incentive?
Right. Like the Sound of Freedom, where the kids' parents are lied to, saying that they'll be, you know, paid well and they'll be doing, you know, like some kind of media or acting or entertainment, you know, which, right. You know, then the parent goes, oh, well, if it's for a better life for them or whatever, and so they actually could be agreeing to this,
or they could be getting paid. These NGOs could be paying somebody in South America $10,000, and we've got a great family for your kid to sponsor. Yeah. They think that their child is going into some foreign exchange student type of network or right. program. And without realizing that they're being trafficked at all. I mean, who knows? There's, as the layers keep getting peeled back, we're learning more and more. There's still tons of unanswered questions.
Right.
While this many tens and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of parents that would just willingly let your child go off into oblivion is another part of the equation that we can't pin down yet. But something tells me there's money behind it and there's NGOs behind it.
That's right.
This system is so, excuse my language, but it's up to the point where I don't know what it is to that I can tell this child of, or how can I help him? All I can do is get him on the airplane, and you're going to another place in another on the other side of the country where they're supposed to continue your case. But when we get to these places where they're supposed to continue their cases, it's at 3 in the morning, at 2 in the morning in the suburbs. And in these suburbs, it's when you knock on the door, it looks like a family home. You got family pictures on the inside. There's a lady who's just looks like she's cooking dinner, and there's kids running by, and there's toys scattered across the floor, and there's two cars parked out on the garage. And it's like, how is this a shelter facility when it looks like a family home, you know? And I had no way to fight it. It's just, this is the address, this is the address. And I would drop off 3 kids from Central America, two female girls from the Middle East, and they would all stay at this home. And these trips were always in the middle of the night. And we would land in an airport in Orlando or in Jacksonville, Florida, drop off kids in Jacksonville, continue on in a charter bus or in a rental car, drop off kids in North Carolina, drop off kids in South Carolina, drop off kids in Georgia, come back to the private airport in Orlando, Florida, and then fly back to Texas. So I don't know how that sounds to you, but it's really shady.
Well, shady is one nice way of putting it. I'll get you out of here on this, Carlos, because you've been so great, gracious with your time. The Texas government, Governor Greg Abbott's office, et cetera, have you spoken to them? Have you come forward to them about what's happening? And if so, have they done anything about it? Are they planning to do anything about it, or are they sweeping it under the rug?
They're sweeping it under the rug. I've heard from nobody. And they're sweeping it under the rug because these facilities, legally, they're running by the law because they have state permits that they need to get. So the state of Texas know that these facilities exist. They don't exactly know like the name of these kids. They don't know the information, but they know they're there. But these facilities can't run without state permits. So I don't know if it's Governor Greg Abbott or someone in his administration, but they're aware and they're not doing anything about it. And I've heard from zero people from D.C., no one from D.C., no one from Texas. There are people who've promised, hey, we'll help you out to get you places to tell your story. But then they always fall through the cracks. And there's people currently working out there, good people trying to get me to tell my story more. But at this moment, no government, none, nothing, zero from the Texas government. And it's sad because you would think that they care. And honestly, they don't care because they haven't done anything about this.
And an important point to understand here is that truly this is not Texas's fault. They're the recipients of a communist coup, out of control border that is being treated illegally every single day. And yeah. this communist coup administration, this regime that is backed by the communist Chinese, for crying out loud, they are responsible for all of these children. They are responsible for this whole huge illegal mass immigration, and this is so illegal and unconstitutional. And so I have to just put it back on the communist coup regime, because this is not Texas's fault. They're trying to do the best they possibly can by trying to block this illegal immigration, this invasion that's taking over down there. And so,
yeah, I don't know if Abbott is actually doing his best. I mean, this is happening. You have trafficked children in 5 former Walmart buildings with 10, up to 10,000 or more children just in these facilities alone that are licensed under your state.
Right.
And the federal government, although they are ultimately responsible, there's no reason why you couldn't put a stop to this happening in your house.
Well, and that's the thing, too, what we just saw happen with Attorney General Ken Paxton.
Right.
Look at what came against him and how much power that guy has with 800 attorneys underneath him to work and do everything that he wants them to do. And yet still, they nearly got him impeached
right.
for no reason and completely blocked his due process. And so this is what they're dealing with.
Well, somebody who's wicked enough to be a pedophile, they're not limited to just that. Their right. wickedness is going to be in every aspect of their lives.
Absolutely.
So
thousands of children being kept in these concentration camps in the United States, funded by the federal government, and then children shipped off to quote-unquote sponsors, never to be seen again or heard from again. No confirmation, DNA testing to prove that these people have any connection with the person that they're taking. We've had multiple sources here on our show who say these children are being sold off as sex slaves, being used in sweatshops as slaves, as physical labor slaves. And the most horrible thing of all, which is organ harvesting. And we've heard this multiple times from multiple sources that this is happening in a large capacity in the United States. It's a multi-billion dollar a year industry, and no one's doing anything about it. But you are, for coming forward and sharing your story, Carlos. It's just heartbreaking. We hope that our audience shares this story, calls a local representative, tries to get you into Washington, D.C. to tell your story in front of a congressional hearing. We will do whatever we can here at Redacted to make that happen. And please, you know, anything else we can do, don't be a stranger. Please let us know. Okay, Carlos?
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. It's been a tough road, but thankfully people like Savannah Hernandez, who gave me my first interview, and along the road, I've run into people like you, Michael, and Ryan from LFA TV. There's good people still out there trying. So thank you for allowing me to come on your platform and speak on this.
My pleasure. And thank you for your bravery on this. Thank you, Carlos. We appreciate it.
Cool. Have a good one.
Thank you so much for watching.
And so he brought up an excellent point that if we get this information out there and enough people hear it and they write letters to their representatives demanding yes. that Carlos Arellano gets a congressional hearing.
That's right.
So I just wanted to put this out there. I've already wrote the Stop Child Trafficking Bill, the Ban Electronic Voting Machines Bill. I'll go ahead and write the letter for anybody that wants to go to our website and copy paste and send to their congressional rep or congressional senator and beg them to give this guy a congressional hearing.
Yes.
Because he's a whistleblower that has information that this whole United States must know about.
Absolutely.
And so just go to our website and we'll have it posted tomorrow because I haven't written it yet. Well, but I will certainly be happy to write it, and we can post that so people can just copy paste.
Yeah, so keep checking the website. It'll be late Monday or Tuesday, hopefully by noon Tuesday at the latest. And we'll have that there where you can just copy and paste it, add your own information to it, and fire it off to your congressman.
Geez, while you're at it, print out a copy of the bill and the intro letter to the bill, too. Get it all done. Send them all yep. certified.
Absolutely. That'll get their attention. So, well, that was an eye-opener. It's just, you know, it makes your heart sink. But this information needs to be gotten out there. If it's the truth, it's the truth. And the truth needs to be made known.
That's
it can't
right.
be ignored.
And you can't do anything about it if you don't know about it.
Right.
And so just the fact that we're all very, very capable of sharing information this day.
Yeah.
You know, we have every method at our fingertips to share information. So please share this far and wide and quickly.
Right. And once you do know, then you have a responsibility to do something about it.
That's right.
Otherwise, this is why this country is under judgment right now.
Yep.
It's because of inaction. And this is just something that we can't tolerate inaction
right.
on this.
Complacency and godlessness. And yep. it's a horrible combination.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Lady Liberty, for coming into the studio and Team teaming up on this.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, good stuff. All right, guys. Well, you have a blessed week out there. You be safe. And join us each weekday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com to find the broadcasting schedule for that. And otherwise, we'll talk to you next Sunday night. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.
Many of these kids, these children, are kept in hidden concentration